Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the time of Advent and Christmas affects different people differently. For some, it's an especially joyful or peaceful time. For some, it can be a lonely time or perhaps a stressful time. And for many people, it's a bit of all of those things. If you find yourself in that last category, finding peace and joy in your Savior Jesus, but not finding much peace or joy in some of the other things happening in your life, then this morning's epistle reading is especially for you. In this reading from Philippians, we hear Paul say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Yet, even as Paul wrote those words about rejoicing, he knew from personal experience that we do not always feel like rejoicing. When Paul wrote those words, he himself was in prison, in chains for Christ. And the people he originally wrote those words to, the Philippians, the people in the church at Philippi, were also suffering persecution for their Christian faith. So, humanly speaking, it would seem that Paul and the people Paul wrote to had little, if any, reason to rejoice. Yet, that is precisely what Paul called the Philippians to do, to join him in rejoicing. So, what reason could they have had to rejoice? Well, for the answer to that question, it's important to listen closely to what Paul says. He doesn't just say, rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Find joy in the Lord. Find joy in what the Lord has done for you, what he is doing for you, and what he has promised he will yet do for you. Paul was not glad to be in prison. But even in prison, he rejoiced in the Lord and what the Lord had done for him. And Paul knew that the Philippians and we would not always be glad about everything happening in our lives. But he also calls us to join him in rejoicing in the Lord. As long as we are in this world, things will not always be as we wish they were. And that's true both of the things around us and also the things within us, in our hearts and our minds. And while our focus remains on those things, all those things that aren't the way we wish they were, then we will not feel much like rejoicing. Yet we are being reminded here by Paul that is not all there is to this life. That God is also at work in this world. And when we open our eyes to see the significance of him and his work for us, then we see that there is indeed reason to rejoice, even at times when we don't fully feel like rejoicing. That's a lesson that we all need to keep relearning throughout our life in this fallen world. And in fact, it's a lesson that we see John the Baptist learning from Jesus in this morning's gospel reading. At the time of the events in our gospel reading, John the Baptist sat in a prison cell, having been imprisoned by Herod. So from where he sat, it was very easy to get discouraged. John was a man of faith. In fact, Jesus himself said of John the Baptist that no greater man had ever lived. But even the greatest of men have their times of weakness or doubt. And as John sat there in prison, things really were not going the way he had hoped they would. He himself had pointed people to Jesus as the one they had been waiting for, the promised Messiah. But now things really were not going the way he had expected to see them go. The people of God had waited so long for the Messiah to come and establish God's kingdom. But Jesus did not seem to be particularly interested in setting up a kingdom. He wasn't taking power and reigning the way many had hoped and expected the Messiah would. Instead, Herod was still in power, and John was sitting in Herod's prison, wondering what Jesus was doing. It's safe to say that John did not see much reason for rejoicing from where he sat. And so John, from his prison cell, sent some of his disciples, that is, his students, to go to Jesus, seeking to understand what was happening, wanting to know whether he had perhaps somehow misunderstood something, whether perhaps they should still be waiting for someone other than Jesus. Jesus responded by saying to John's disciples, "Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." In other words, Jesus was saying, "Yes, I am the promised one who you have been waiting for. There is no need to look for anyone else." Jesus was, in fact, setting up a kingdom. It simply wasn't the kind of kingdom people had been looking for. It was not a kingdom of worldly power. It was a kingdom of mercy and grace. It was a kingdom focused not on taking up arms, but rather it was focused on lifting up the downtrodden. And this king was not concerned with wearing fine clothing or accumulating wealth. He was focused on preaching good news to the poor. And by doing that, he was in fact building a kingdom that would last forever. A kingdom that is not of this world, but a kingdom which will outlast this world and all of its kingdoms. Now, Jesus knew that what he was doing was very different from what many people had been expecting. But he also knew that what he was doing was far better for us than anything the people had been expecting him to do. And so he continued on. He continued associating with the lowly rather than the elite. He continued on preaching good news to the poor rather than rubbing shoulders with the powerful. He continued on, each day coming closer to the crown of thorns that he was determined to wear for us, and coming closer to the cross that he was determined to bear for us. To many, what he was doing seemed like a foolish path to follow. But as Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are not offended by him. Blessed are those who look beyond the outward appearance of things and instead see through eyes of faith. Blessed are those who rejoice in the Lord, even when the things of this world don't make you feel like rejoicing. Blessed are you when, even in the darkness of this world, you see the light of Jesus Christ shining in the darkness. Blessed are you when, despite the coldness of this world, you find warmth in Jesus Christ and his love for you. Blessed are you when, in the face of all the sin around and all the sin within, you find comfort in the Christ's cross and hope in his resurrection. Blessed are you when, even if your circumstances don't have you feeling especially joyful, you are still able to join Paul in saying, 'Rejoice in the Lord always.' And again, I will say rejoice. And blessed are you when you know that the Lord you are rejoicing in also rejoices in you. In this morning's Old Testament reading from Zephaniah, the prophet calls on the people of God to rejoice and exalt with all their heart because of all that the Lord would do for them. Zephaniah spoke to God's people about how the Lord would take away their punishment, which he has now done, as on the cross Jesus took the punishment for our sins upon himself. Zephaniah spoke of how the Lord would turn back our enemies, which he has now done, as in his redeeming death and his victorious resurrection, our Lord has in fact defeated sin, death, and the devil for us. And Zephaniah spoke of how the Lord would one day gather all his people to himself, which he will do when he comes again in glory. Zephaniah called God's people to rejoice and exalt with all their heart over all of this, all that the Lord would do for them. And he also said that as they do that, they can know also that the Lord rejoices over them. As Zephaniah said, he, the Lord, will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with singing. Here we are being assured that in his great mercy and grace, in his forgiving, steadfast love, the Lord our God, the Lord who is above all things and who has all things in his hand, the Lord rejoices over you with singing. In the words of the hymn that we sang a few minutes ago, God loves you dearly and grants you salvation. What better reason could you have for rejoicing? And so, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.